Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
How you guys doing tonight? Good? Good? You're blessed? I hope. I hope you're blessed. If you're not blessed, you're about to be blessed, because when we hear the word of God, we're blessed. Amen. First and foremost, before I even get into anything else, I'm just going to pray, because during worship, I just felt the Lord tell me the first thing I need to do to handle business up here is to pray a spirit of condemnation out of this room. And I don't know who it is, but somebody, maybe multiple of you, are dealing with condemnation right now. And God doesn't want that for you. If you're in Christ, there is no condemnation for you. And you don't need to receive that. That's not for you. That's not God's gift to you by any means. And so I'm going to pray. So Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I pray the spirit of condemnation would flee right now from these men and from these women. If they're dealing with any condemnation for any sin, for any failure, I pray right now, God, that they be reminded of who you are and your goodness. Because your goodness outweighs any condemnation, no matter how big it seems. And so I just pray right now that you'd help the hearts of these men and women to receive your goodness. And I thank you, Lord, that your goodness leads us to repentance. And God, if we've repented, if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. That's what you do, Lord. And so I just pray right now that these men and women receive your forgiveness, God. If that's what they're seeking, it's done. In the name of Jesus. And so, Lord, I thank you for that. Honestly, I'm pretty prepared most of the time. I usually come into something like this, and I pray, and I seek God, and God gives me something. He gives me a clear direction. And I was talking to Steve back there. He kind of was asking me what I had planned, and I said, honestly, not much. I don't really have a plan. I honestly felt like the Lord wanted me to kind of just take a step back and completely trust in his Holy Spirit tonight to lead me through whatever we're going to go on a journey tonight. I know one thing I did pray about this, and one thing I heard God tell me was to just to talk to my people, talk to my people. And I felt like what God was implying when he said that to me earlier today was just to get up here and share my heart. And share whatever comes up and whatever the Holy Spirit leads me to do, I'm going to do. And so that's where I'm at right now. I'm submitted. I'm saying, God, this is kind of crazy for me because I'm not used to doing this, but I'm going to do it anyway. And so we're all going to go on a journey. You with me? You got your little walking stick and your little backpack because we're about to go on a journey. Amen? So I want to pray, and then we're going to go, man. So, Father, I just commit this to you, Holy Spirit. I ask for your 100% direction and guidance in this, because I can't come up with anything on my own, nor would I want to. And so, God, I'm doing my best to be obedient to you in this moment, to say that you have something planned, that you want me just to talk to your people tonight and just to share my heart and just to be open, to be vulnerable. To be honest, God. Because, Father, you desire for us to have truth in the very inner parts of who we are. And, Lord, it's not because you put me in a position to be up in a pulpit that I should try to do anything other than just be real. And so, God, I just bear my heart to you. And you know my heart, God. And you know, Lord, that there's some things in there that are going on, but yet you know the struggle, you know the trial. You know the joy that's there. You know the peace that's available through all of this, Lord. I don't have answers for everything, but I know that you do. And so, God, I just pray and submit to you in this moment, God, to use me tonight to speak whatever it is that you want said. In Jesus' name, amen. So, as Steve said, I just recently lost my father in If I get choked up, bear with me. I'll hopefully be able to get through this thing. But yeah, I lost my father. So beginning of this year, my dad was diagnosed with stage 4 brain cancer. And so stage 4 is pretty far into it. It's about as bad as you can get. He had a tumor removed back in around February. He just went home to be with Jesus last Thursday, about right before midnight. And it's been a crazy ride. It's been a crazy test of my faith. But even last year, God was, he had me stuck in Hebrews 11. He had me just kind of stay there and kind of meditate on Hebrews 11. And faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things not yet seen. And just this faith journey that we're on, and he had me planted in that months, it seemed like, leading up to the end of the year. And then I felt at the beginning of the year that this test was going to happen, that my faith was going to be tested this year probably more than it has been. Little did I know what that meant exactly. I just knew that I was hearing God tell me that. Well, the test came. The diagnosis came. The faith in action came. I wanted to pray. I wanted to believe. Even before my dad went into surgery to have his tumor removed, the first one, because he had a second one that started growing after he had the first one removed. But I went into that and I prayed and I put my hand right on that tumor on his head and prayed and believed in faith that God would remove that tumor, that he wouldn't have to have surgery. And I prayed, and I remember when I prayed for that I believed with everything in me that that would happen. And then guess what? The diagnosis came that it was still there. And then it didn't go away. And in that moment, I was very frustrated. I was very angry with the Lord. And I was going to be honest. I had questions. I didn't understand why. God, you tell me to pray. You tell me that you've given me authority here on earth. You've given me authority, Jesus, to lay hands on the sick, to see them healed. And here I am doing what your word said, yet I don't see a result. And little did I know that in the moment, I couldn't see the big picture. And even right now, I don't see the big, big picture. I see some of it. I understand a little bit. But God had a way different plan for this whole thing. And that my dad would still have cancer. And that eventually, cancer would take him down. But yet, he has life. Why? Because I had the opportunity to lead him to Jesus. In 2016, the day after Easter, my dad's 67 years old at that point. Hadn't known the Lord his whole life. And I went up to Michigan where my parents lived on a mission. The one weekend we went up there, I said, I don't care what he says. I don't care what he thinks. I'm going to go up there with try to have the best spirit of Christ I can have to present to him the gospel. And I did. And I remember walking down the stairs from the upstairs, going down that morning, knowing that that was the morning I was going to have that talk with my dad about Jesus. And there was so much fear and nervousness. Like, my dad was an intimidating guy. The funny thing is, my parents stand about, my dad's probably about this tall, my mom's even shorter, but me and my brother are both big, tall guys, and here I am going to my short dad, yet feeling intimidated, like, oh my goodness, because that's just how he was. He would intimidate you, even if he was a small guy. He just had that about him. He was a loving, gentle, caring man, but he just had that look like that could scare you, you know? So I went down the stairs that morning with full intent to tell him about Jesus. All kinds of emotions, all kinds of thoughts going through my head. So I go down and sit on the couch, or I sit on this little love seat, actually. And he's sitting in his chair watching TV, watching the morning news. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to do this thing. When's the time? I don't even know how to get the first word out is what I'm going through in my heart. How do I even say the first thing to him? I don't even know what to say. And so I was like, in my heart, I was like, all right, Jesus, let's go, you know. And so I took a step of faith and just started to speak. And then lo and behold, almost 2 hours later, he had sat there and listened to me. And I went through everything from salvation through faith to revelation to the end times to prophetic things. And I mean, for almost 2 hours, I think it was, he just sat there and listened. And he had questions, and I was surprised. I was like, I didn't think this was going to turn out this way. But God had a different outcome for that. And so I sat and talked to him, and I mapped out salvation so clear that you couldn't mess it up. I mean, he could not have messed it up, you know. But then I walked away, and I said, okay, this is how you do it, you know. You know, pray. That's it. And then I walked away, and I felt the Holy Spirit tell me right in that moment to pray with him. And so I went to him. And I said, do you want to pray right now for salvation? And he said, yeah, again, to my surprise. And I said, all right. And so I prayed with him, man. I got to just break down the things of God to him. And it was just this awesome moment that God allowed to happen. And he got saved, man. And it was genuine. And I said, Dad, do you realize what just happened? I said, the Holy Spirit is now living inside of you. And he... He looked at me with tears in his eyes and he said, I know. I know. He knew. He knew what had happened. The Spirit of God confirmed in his heart what had just happened. And there was no question in his heart what had just happened. He clearly understood that he was forgiven of his lifetime of sin. Because he put faith in Jesus, it didn't matter how many sins he had, God took him in that moment. And then the next year, you follow it up, for, what, 8 months later, 9 months later, and he has a diagnosis that you have a cancerous brain tumor that is probably going to kill you. And we had so many people praying. We had people at Voice praying. We had people at my home church praying. We had Teen Challenge praying. People back in my brother and sister-in-law's church praying. Everybody prayed. We all believed in faith. And so then it begs the question, well, we had all this faith, but why? Why didn't he get healed? Well, I think, again, I don't see the big picture yet, but I also know that God does work everything out for good. He just does. And I've held on to that. I've held on to the fact that there is hope for us. What it stirred up in me to know that my dad passed was to think. It got me to think about heaven. And that's one thing I don't think about a lot. Honestly, I think we go through our walk as a Christian and we don't really think about that much. We're so temporal in our thinking and we're so focused on this earth in our thinking that we lose sight of our final destination. Our final destination, that our hope, our upward calling is heaven. That's what we have to look forward to. You know that? Remind yourself of that. Touch your neighbor and say, hey, you're going to heaven. If you know Jesus, you're going to heaven. Heaven is your destination. And it reminded me, and even John 3:16 popped in my mind after I had started to think about my dad passing. It was John 3:16, the simple verse, this verse that so many people quote today that lots of the world that don't even really care about Jesus or know Jesus can quote it, most of them. And it's this simple verse, man, that God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And if that we believe in him, we have everlasting life. We're not condemned. The son didn't come into the world to condemn the world, man. He came into this world so that the world through him could be saved. And I started to think about those verses. And it just registered in a whole new way. Because I've read that verse. I've thought about that verse. I've prayed about that verse. I've heard many people quote that verse over and over and over. Teen Challenge lineups, you probably get a little John 3:16 when we quote our verses at lineup once in a while. And I heard it, but for that moment, it registered in a whole new way. To think that Jesus came so that my dad could be in heaven. Jesus came so that my dad could be in heaven and that one day I could see him again in heaven. And then the thought is, yeah, we have this grief in our hearts. My mom has this grief in her heart. I have this grief in my heart. My brother, my family, anybody who knew my dad. You know, I've heard so many testimonies of how great of a man he was, how much he cared for people, and how he impacted them, and yet he's by far in a better place. And when we say that, well, brother, your dad's in a better place. And I think people mean well and things like that are said. And yeah, it's true, but he really is, man. He is face to face with Jesus. That's something I haven't seen yet. And that's where he is. And so through even my grief right now, there's so much hope in my heart. And that's what gets me through. And I've heard somebody say before that when you lose somebody that's in faith, we don't grieve like the world grieves. Why? Because there's hope. You know? Now, if he would have died and I would have known, man, I had an opportunity to tell him about Jesus and I didn't, woe to me. I had an opportunity to tell him and I didn't. Now, if he would have died and I would have known that he wasn't saved probably and went to hell, his blood's on my hands now. And we get into a whole new thing. And so I want you guys to think, this is just a challenge to you. If you know somebody, even if it seems intimidating, even if you don't think God could ever use you to minister to that person, maybe it's a family member that's hardened, maybe it's a family member that doesn't really want anything to do with the Lord, I challenge all of us to step out in our faith and see what God can do. Because again, the outcome with my dad wasn't determined by me. It was determined by the Holy Spirit. And so if you have somebody, maybe you've wrestled with this, maybe you've had a hard time thinking about a particular person and you've just wanted so badly to reach out to them and you don't know how, or you feel like if you say the wrong thing, it's going to push them away. Again, you don't determine the outcome. You step out in faith and allow the Holy Spirit to do the work that only He can do. Amen? And so I challenge us all. There's somebody, all of us know somebody. I probably have more I need to talk to. And thankfully, there's a service coming up on the 17th. And so if you remember that date, please, please pray, because I'm going to have an opportunity to speak. And it's going to be a memorial service for my father. And it's going to be intense, man. I know it is. It's going to be kind of intimidating, to be honest. But I'm going to go into that thing as bold as I can and as free as I can and trust that the Lord's going to do something that day. I have so many family members that are lost that are going to be there and are going to hear the testimony of my dad giving his life to Jesus. And I'm going to tell it, and I'm going to tell it well, and I'm going to tell it proud, because God did it. And because if God did it for him, lived a 67-year life of knowing sin, and then gets saved, and then a year later he's gone to be with Jesus, and he can do it for anybody. So that's kind of where I'm at right now. So a lot going on, and there's so many stories through the time that he was diagnosed to the time that he actually passed. So many stories of faith, so many stories where I've seen my mom's faith become something I never thought it would be, even through suffering. That woman, man, that is a strong woman right there. She has done nothing but for the past 5.5 months stand by his side. And that's true love, a marriage of 43 years. And they didn't even go to church. And they lasted for 43 years, and their marriage was pretty solid, man. And that wasn't a church couple, mind you. So think about that. So she stuck by his side for all this time, was there through thick and thin, and honestly, that's what a marriage should look like. Till death do you part. It doesn't matter what comes, and I'll just kind of speak if there's anybody in here married or hoping to be married. If you take those vows and say, till death do us part, that's what it means. If you spoke that vow before God and before man, then that's what that means. And marriage is tough, because you don't always know exactly what you're getting into when you marry somebody. You think you do, but you don't. And you get to pray about it, and you get to love that person. You get to look past their faults and love them anyway. And that's one thing that, even though my parents weren't saved, for very long now, they had a long-standing marriage. It's because they did the things that Jesus would do without even knowing they were doing the things that Jesus would do. That's why they lasted. That's why my mom was a trooper. That's why my mom stuck by his side to the point where he was pretty much bedridden. He couldn't move. He had surgery. It disabled his left side. And then he tried to rehab to where he could get to move to. He got better. Then he got pneumonia. Then he had seizures after seizures. I mean, he probably had maybe 40, 50 seizures over the past couple months that has completely annihilated him, man. I witnessed my dad. I'm laying hands on my father while he's in the middle of a seizure, praying for him. And you know what I told him? I said, praise God, Dad. Praise God. It doesn't matter. Praise God. And we prayed, and he had his hand up, worshiping Jesus. In the middle of a seizure, he's worshiping Jesus. And he comes out of those and he's telling us how God is speaking to him. One night, the craziest thing happened. This is close to where he passed. It wasn't far out from that. And he just randomly tells my mom, you need to get a hold of Alexis. Alexis is my niece, so his granddaughter. He says, honey, you need to get a hold of Alexis. I need to talk to her. And that's never something he's done, ever. I mean, so this guy is like dying. And I think, honestly, he is probably going in and out of hearing God, and spiritual things were happening to him. And he just told my mom that. Well, my mom called, got a hold of Alexis. She called, talked to grandpa, and they had this conversation. Well, guess what happened? That very same night, I think that they were sleeping and the call woke them up, and then they had a fire in their apartment, my niece and her boyfriend. And so crazy stuff like that happened. I mean, there was some just wild moments of spiritual things going on. And my dad, I know and for a fact, was hearing God's voice. And so even through this whole trial, man, there's joy. The Bible says to count it all joy. And I can say it's not just some emotional thing I'm saying, and it's fresh. I mean, he just passed. This is a whole fresh thing. We're still working through a lot of stuff. We still have a memorial service. My mom's still grieving. She has a broken heart. She just lost her husband of 43 years that she's been with since she was straight out of high school. That's a big deal. That's a hard thing. But I know for me, she has joy too. I got to sit up there and play the guitar and worship, and she loved it. You know, she loves that song, What a Beautiful Name by Hillsong. That was one song she played nonstop. And my dad would worship, laying in his bed, dying, worshiping. That's faith. That's faith. When you can worship Jesus on your deathbed, that's faith. We think we have faith, that's faith. It's not just because it's my dad. Anybody who's ever been in that position to worship Jesus on their deathbed, that's faith. Why? Because there's a confidence in that person's heart to know that no matter what happens, Jesus has got this. And that's the attitude that my dad developed in this last year, since the beginning of the year. There was tests. He was angry. He probably cussed. He had some anger. He had a filthy mouth before he got saved. God bless him. But he probably had some issues. You know, he had some anger. He had some bitterness. He had to work through this stuff. But yet at the end of the day, when he went to be with Jesus, he was worshiping. Now, I don't know what to say about that. That's an intense thing. But one thing I do know is that the Holy Spirit, talked about in the Bible, talks about the Holy Spirit being a counselor, or being, in other words, a comforter, which can actually mean advocate, which means that it's something that's called to one's aid. And that's what's been really just on my heart as well, is just the comfort that the Holy Spirit brings to a person when they're going through some of the hardest times they could face. It also, Jesus also told his disciples before he was going to leave and go be crucified, is that he gave them peace. He said, "Peace I leave with you and peace I give to you, and I don't give it to you like the world does. So don't let your hearts be troubled and don't be afraid." And so even through this, there's so much peace. I walked into my, and thank you for anybody who's known about this, any of you guys here, any of Voice Ministries team, anybody that's ever heard anything about this to pray for my dad or my family, I thank you. Because even when I went up there Friday evening, and this is after my dad had passed, I walked into their house and there was so much peace. I felt so much peace. Like as soon as I stepped foot in there, it was just like overwhelming peace. And I know it's because so many saints were offering up their incense, offering up their petitions to the Lord on behalf of our family. And so for that, I say thanks, because that does mean a lot. And your prayer isn't insignificant, and your prayer is heard when you're praying those things where you feel like it's very distant from you and it's not really affecting you that deeply. But yet you pray, and your prayers work. But the Holy Spirit is a comforter. And it makes me think almost like of a medic, you know, of a medic coming to the rescue, a paramedic almost. That's the kind of thought I had earlier about the comforter, about the Holy Spirit. And so in our time of need and our distress, I mean, he's always with us, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, if you allow him to be that aid to you, that advocate for you, you can go through anything, I believe. And I don't want to get too crazy and say that, because then God might test me in that. I've found that to be true. If I say things like that, very absolute, bold statements, that God often tests me in those things. But I say that with sincerity, and God knows that that is where my heart is at, is absolute sincerity, is that God can get us through anything. Some of us have all, you know, probably all of us have walked through pretty hard stuff. Some of you have probably lost your parents long before I have, and maybe even worse or more tragic things have happened to you, and yet you've seen God be faithful and God walk you through things. And I have peace, man, I really do. I feel like there's still a time for me to grieve, but yet even Jesus in the gospel said that you're going to grieve, talking to his disciples. You're going to grieve, but your grief will be turned into joy. Again, it's that thing that doesn't make sense. When you grieve, there's joy for you. You know, the weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And so I just challenge you guys, man, that you as God's people can walk through anything. I firmly believe that. If you cling to faith, if you cling to the Holy Spirit and let him be an advocate to you and be your aid through anything that you face, God can see you through it, especially to you Teen Challenge guys. You guys go through battles, and sometimes we're just like, you know, suck it up and keep, you know, roll up your sleeves and man up and stay and fight it out. But yeah, you guys go through real battles, and we know that as your leadership. But I want to encourage you guys, don't give up. Don't. You need to trust and allow the Holy Spirit to do the very thing that he has called to do. Jesus told his disciples, it's better for you that I go away. If I don't go away, then the Comforter, the Counselor, won't come to you. So now Jesus is seated at the right hand of God in heaven, but yet we have the Holy Spirit here for us. And so for you Teen Challenge men, you have the Holy Spirit. You don't need to be afraid. You don't need to be troubled in your hearts. And if we ever walk around like that as Christians in general, we need to always go back to know that that's what he's there for. The Holy Spirit is there for us so we don't have... Jesus spoke peace into our lives so we don't have to be worried and troubled and afraid. Amen? And so I thank God that that's a gift. That's a gift that he gives to his children. Is that we can walk through the fire. I mean, you think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They got tossed in that fire, but yet there was a fourth. Right there in the burning furnace that burned up all the soldiers. There they are dancing around in the fire. And to me, what does that say? That's joy. You're in the furnace, man. You're in the furnace getting burnt. You should have been burnt. They should have been burnt. But yet they were dancing. They were with Jesus, man. And Jesus saw them through that. So it doesn't matter what we face in life, man. If we trust in God, if we believe that he does what he tells us clearly in his word that he will do, then we're good. And so no matter what you're facing tonight, no matter what seems impossible to you tonight, the Holy Spirit can see you through anything. I'm here to tell you that. Again, I'm not just up here emotionally saying some stuff. I truly have peace with all that's going on. This isn't devastating my life. This isn't shipwrecking my faith, if you will. If anything, this has built my faith. This has caused me to want to serve Jesus more because I know how faithful he is. Even through the worst stuff, God's faithful. And so again, I share a lot of that with you. And it might be a little bit short or whatever, but I just really felt like that. I really felt like God wanted me to just talk to his people, talk to you guys, share from my heart, share just the faithfulness of God. I have always come back to that. Anytime I speak, it seems like I come back to the faithfulness of God. And that no matter what happens, no matter what unfolds in your life, no matter what trial you face, God's faithfulness doesn't change to his people. It just doesn't. Never will. There's nothing you can walk through that's going to say, yep, God's not faithful anymore. And God doesn't have a plan for this to work out so that it'll be good. And there's good to come out of it. And so, yeah, what I want to do tonight is just take some time. And I'm probably going to shock these guys because they weren't expecting this. I want Jordan and Mr. Bowman, Mr. Joe Z., Mr. Joey Hanlon. These are some of our leaders in Teen Challenge and even the Voice Ministry team. And I hope I'm not overstepping bounds here. But I just felt in my heart, I kind of had this thought in my mind earlier, if we were going to do an altar call, that I would have our leadership come up as well and be here available to you alongside the Voice leadership to just pray for anybody that has a need. I don't have to make it specific. If you have a need and you need prayer, maybe you're facing your own trial, maybe you're not finding joy in the things that you're going through and walking through, and you don't know how to get joy, or you're chaotic in your heart, you don't feel like you have that peace that Jesus gave to us, you know, whatever the need is, whatever it is, you want more faith. If your faith is being tested, you want to know how to walk through and look like Jesus in your test and not look like a mess. I've been there. I've been a complete mess in my trials at times, and I look horrible, and I look like a ugly monster at times with how I act, and yet I always find myself back at the feet of Jesus saying, man, I don't fully know how to do this, God, but I know you do, and I know your Spirit's here, and I know your Spirit's present to help me. And so no matter what the need, I just want to open up the altars for a short time, and I'll pray with you if you'd want as well, but just let this be a time to come up and get blessed, man. And if you have a need, just know that God can answer your need, and he can meet you right where you're at no matter what you're facing. Amen. So if you guys feel like you want to be prayed for, you can step on forward. Don't be shy, and we will pray for you.